Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. It's been a good week. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's life out there. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible, turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read from chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 and 8. You know what? Let's read 9. Let's spoil ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible, just raise it, please. There's a lot of swords out there. Praise the Lord. And this is how it reads. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. Jump down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Would you pray with me, please, that the Lord would speak through me and help me? Heavenly Father, I come before you today, Lord, and I ask humbly, Lord, in reverence, that, Lord, you will help me to preach your word. Help me, Lord, to teach your word. Help me, my God, to speak the truth of the verses, my God, not to stray from the points in which, Lord, you want to speak. Lord, shut me up, my God, when you are finished. But, Lord, I ask that you will minister to your people, Lord. Touch their lives. Strengthen them, my God. Strengthen the feeble, weak knees and arms, Lord. Strengthen, Lord, those who have lost their courage in you today, my God. Renew them, I pray, my God. Lord, I pray that maybe salvation can be found in this place today, Lord. The greatest of blessings and miracles, Lord, this day. Jesus, be with us by your power and your name. Amen. And so we look at a letter, the last letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. Now, I want to give you some introduction to Corinth because we haven't done 1 Corinthians, so I'm just going to wrap it up quite quickly. Corinth was probably one of the most immoral places that you could live at the time. It is one of the most immoral cities. It was a city known for its sin, its wickedness, its idolatry. It had a wicked temple with wicked women that used to serve in that temple. It was known for its cruelty and its wickedness. And somehow, the immorality of Corinth started to find its way within a young church. That's not unusual, is it? To start to see the world trying to creep into the church, amen? Though we're called to be in the world, but not be a part of it. Sometimes the world can find its way into our life. Same principle. Within this church, the enemy was at work. Because through the things of the flesh and through natural things and spiritual things, he was causing disunity. There was immorality within the church itself. You had brothers and sisters suing one another. There were false apostles being raised up. They were challenging the Apostle Paul's authority. You had problems with marriage and divorce, problems in the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, problems coming around the Lord's table. They had problems believing in the resurrection of Jesus. They had unruly women within the church and other problems. This is a church that had problems. And it took the Apostle Paul a lot of correction, a lot of time, a lot of effort to try and put this church back on the right path. I ain't going into the history of the letters and Paul today. I don't want to do that. I just want to get to the point of the message. I suppose if I would have been the Apostle Paul, this letter would have been my signing off. Hello, Corinth, you pack of wasters. I have spent many years now of my life trying to help you, but you are a complete lot of failures. God bless. That would be something that I probably would write. But then again, I'm not the Apostle Paul, and thank God I'm not. You know, he had the right to disconnect himself from this church. Do you understand? He could say, look, for all these failings and all my effort, I'm not getting anywhere in front. I'm done with you. But the Lord doesn't give up on his people because they fail him. I'll say that again. The Lord God does not give up on his people because they fail him. If God was waiting for perfect people, he wouldn't find any on this earth, would he? Paul goes about writing a letter, and at this point, they are repenting. At this point, at this letter, by the time he's wrote this, the church have been corrected, and they've started to repent from their sin. And they're starting to come back in line with truth. They've received the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And Paul uses an analogy. He says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He says that God, and he draws a contrast between the weak, fragile state of the vessels that we are as human beings. And he goes on to contrast that with the power and the glory and majesty of God that fills these vessels. And he says that there has been a separation. When light comes in, darkness is driven out. And he draws from creation when God commanded that there be light. And then on that command, when light came, darkness fled. And so should it be with the church. That the light of God has penetrated our hearts. The Bible says that those who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. Have we not seen that light? Have you not been impacted by the preaching of the gospel? Have you not seen the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Have we not received the knowledge of God through Jesus and his word? And when we receive Christ in our hearts, does it not drive out wickedness? Does it not drive out darkness in the things that we used to live in and the things we used to be a part of? We're no longer a part of the world, are we? We're no longer a part of the function of the world. The devil is no longer our father, is he? But we have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary. We are no longer what we used to be. Paul says we are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come because the light of God has shone into the darkness. Because the revelation of God has come upon our hearts. Paul is drawing from his own experience on the Damascus road when he went to persecute the Christians, when he was an enemy of the church, when he was steeped in his religion and thought he was doing right. On that road, a great light surrounded him. The light of God came all around him. And he said, who are you, Adonai? Who are you, Lord? And a voice in Hebrew replied, Yahweh Yeshua, I am Jesus. And from that moment on, his life was changed. And when the light of God that surrounded him entered his heart, he changed his attitude, he changed his life, it changed his direction, it changed his thinking, it changed his speech, it changed his company. It changed every part of his life. And when Jesus Christ enters a man and woman's life, he changes them, every single part of their life. Not just in church, but in every waking moment of our life. The power of God changes us and is making us new. He is making us new. For the light has shone. And what a beautiful, great light that light is. For that light has revealed to us the knowledge of the glory of God. We were once in darkness, my friend. The Corinthians were once in darkness. They once didn't know God. They were once enemies of God. They were once living their own lives however they wanted to live it. Once drinking, partying, getting hyped up and all manners of different things. Let me bring it to today. Where were we before we saw Jesus, the light of God in our life? Where were we before we received the knowledge of the gospel? Where did Jesus find you at? Was it on a bar stool? Was you that person that was hype, that was in a motor somewhere, taking as much drugs into your system as you could to try and find peace? Was you the religious person that mocked and laughed at Christians because you took pride in your religion? Was you in that place? Was you the atheist in the heart? The person who lived like God didn't exist? Was that you? But those who lived in darkness have seen a great light. We're no longer alcoholics, or we shouldn't be. We're no longer drug users. We're no longer wife beaters. Do you understand? We're no longer the things we used to be. We're not thieves anymore. For the light of God has filled our heart, and repentance has come into this temple. God's Spirit has entered this temple. And we're no longer what we were, but we're new. And Paul is pushing over the point. If you receive the light of God in your heart, then darkness has to be driven out. It can't exist where the light of God is. Let me move on so I can get to my points before I run out of time. The light of God, the knowledge of God revealed in the face of Jesus. Let me tell you something about Jesus before I move on. Jesus was the treasure of heaven, you know. Do you know a lot of people are running this world looking for treasure today? But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was the treasure of heaven. He is God's treasure, sent to mankind in an earthen vessel, in a human body. God in flesh, 100% God, 100% man, living and dwelling among us. And in him we see God's face, holy and perfect and pure. And in him we see the goodness of God. Do you know in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. He has revealed to us the heart of God. He is the treasure of heaven. And he should be God's treasure. He is God's treasure. And if he's God's treasure, then he should be yours. As a believer, as a Christian, then Jesus should be the treasure of your life. And the gospel of Christ is the treasure of the message. Do you understand? Jesus was the gospel. He was living. He was the living gospel. Amen? He was the word in flesh. And the message itself now within us is that same light, that same treasure is the knowledge of God being revealed to the ungodly. And it also keeps me and you in line. And this treasure itself, this treasure has been placed into an earthen vessel. God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things to bind up the strong. If we could take hold of this, if you could just grasp, if you could just understand how powerful the Lord is who dwells in you. Do you understand how powerful Christ is? Do you understand what kind of treasure that is in your life if you have Jesus? Do you understand if you've got Jesus in your life, you are without nothing? The Bible says we shall not be in want. If you have Christ, you have no want in your life. But if you have not got this treasure in your life, then you, my friend, are in the greatest dire need. You are in want in this place if you have not got Jesus. But for those who have Christ, we have no want. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul uses an earthen vessel. It was a clay pot. because it's fragile, because it's weak. But let me tell you this, and I want you to get this tonight, right? Today, should I say, right? The clay pot's value is not gauged by what it is. It's valued by what's inside of it. And listen, your value isn't based upon what you are or what I am. Our value is based upon Jesus Christ who lives within us. In ourselves, we are nothing. What is this tent? What are we? What is the preacher? Are we just not vessels in which we glorify God? Is not all the glory going to God? Listen, if what we're doing on this field today was to bring glory to us, it's in vain, it's foolish. But the glory is the Lord's. And our life is to bring glory to Him. And that's why God chooses the weak things of this world, the foolish things of this world, so that there can be no glory shared. Because all glory belongs to God alone. He deserves the glory. And He doesn't share His glory with no one. By our weakness, God's strength is revealed. You say, I can't serve God. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. Have you ever been sick of failing God? Or is it just me? Have you ever, listen, I tell you what, on a regular basis, I get up and I think, today's the day, Lord. Today is the day where I'm going to do it right. Today's the day, Lord, when I'm going to change. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to be the man of God you want me to be today, Lord. And as soon as I get out the trailer, as soon as I get in the motor, somebody will cut me up on the road, guaranteed. And I will throw my hands up in the air and I'll start doing fists through the window. And I have to repent. And I think, Lord, it hasn't been an hour and I failed you. And throughout the whole day, I find myself repenting all the time. It seems like the more I want to do right, the more I do wrong. Is there anybody in here that feels the same way? Am I on my own in here today? Have you ever tried to serve God with all your heart, and no matter how hard you try, you fail? Yeah? And praise God. Because in our weaknesses, He is made strong. You see, in our failing, there is no room for pride. In that humility, I've got to keep coming back to Him and saying, Lord, I failed you again, I'm sorry. How long will you bear with my weaknesses, Lord? How long are you going to bear with my foolishness? How long will you put up with my stupid ways? Lord, I tried to say the right thing and I say the wrong thing. Lord, I tried to go and I tried to witness and I put my foot in it. Lord, I go to church and somehow I offend the person sitting next to me. Lord, I speak and I irritate people. It's just my voice. How long, Lord, will you put up with me? But yet in the midst of that, the Lord says, My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because if I can use you, then there's hope for everybody else. Amen? Do you understand? I am the biggest mess up in this tent. And if God can use me, there's hope for you. Do you understand that? Because we are the earthen vessels in which God takes pride and glory. Do you understand? His glory, not mine. Him, not me. I have nothing in myself. Do you know when you feel so down and the enemy comes in and he says, you can't serve God no more, you're finished. All you do is mess up. Why don't you just give up and walk away? And then you go to that prayer time and you feel like you can't reach out, like God isn't there, and you start to panic. I want to remind you of something, right? Something heavenly. And it's within the text. Isaiah, the prophet, was caught up into heaven. And he was brought into the throne room of God. And in that throne room, he says, behold, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the trail of his robe filled the temple. The train of his robe, the edge of his garment filled the temple. And in this perfection, he sees order and he sees all the beauty and holiness of God. And he realizes that he's done for. He realizes that he is nothing but a weak vessel. That he isn't good enough to be in the presence of God around all these perfect angels and all this perfect worship. And in the midst of this, he says, who will go for us? And in all this perfection, one imperfect creature puts his hand up and says, I'll go, send me. Why? Because he understood his condition and he knew the condition of his people. He could relate to them. Lord, send me. I've seen this now. I've seen that you are high and lifted up. And I know my frailty and my weakness. But if you will send me, in spite of my weakness, I will tell them. In spite of my weakness, I'll preach to them. I'll tell them of you. I will speak of your holiness. I will do it without shame in my heart. Yes, I'm weak. Yes, I'm frail. Yes, I'm fragile. But I have seen something of God. I have had something of the revelation of God in my heart, and I will reveal it to all. There's something wonderful in the text. You know, when Jesus, God's treasure, came to earth, there was a woman with an issue. And she also was trying to find the hem of his garment. But for her, it was difficult. She had to push through crowds. She had to walk miles. It was only about 3 foot wide. She had a limited area in which she could reach out and feel the blessing of God in her weakness, to receive her healing in that weakness. Are you getting me? Do you understand me? I'm not losing you. Limited area in which it represents the old covenant. A very limited space in which men could reach out and feel the healing of God. But yet she persisted, and because of her faith, she was healed, wasn't she? The Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God has filled this temple. And if you go back to Isaiah, he said the train of his robe, the hedge of his garment, and what? It filled the temple. A new covenant. It filled the temple. Let me tell you what that means for you. It means wherever you're at in your life, wherever you're at in your weakness, wherever you're at in your frailty, wherever you mess up and you think, God, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. All you've got to do is reach out your hand and the hem of the garment is ever present. Wherever you go, God is in reach. He is there because he fills the temple. Amen. Because he is glorious. In our weaknesses, he is made strong. And there is the glorious knowledge of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to preach much more, right? I've got loads of things written down, but I'll just be hammering on. It's so that the excellence of the power of God may be displayed. Do you understand that? That's why God chose me and you to preach the gospel. Why do you think in these times God has called the gypsies to preach the gospel? The weak, the foolish, the rejected, the despised in most cases. And yet in most cases we're leading the way in regards to preaching the gospel. Because there's glory to God in that. You know, when the media is looking and the news networks and they're looking and they're seeing what gypsies preaching about God. They're thieves, aren't they? They're vagabonds. How could God use them? How could there be glory in this? But yet, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And there is glory in this. There is glory not in this tent, not in me preaching, not in you sitting in these seats, but in the fact that God is here and that God has brought us here and we're in unity and one accord with the love of God in our hearts. That is where the glory is. Because the gospel has taken hold of us and it has changed our lives. This is the glory that has filled this temple, amen? If it's going to be a temple, it's going to be God's at least. We don't lose heart, though the outward man is perishing. Let me tell you something. I see a lot today of people trying to preserve the outward man. There is a lot of trying to preserve the outward man these days. I see a lot of cosmetic surgeries I've never seen before. People are having things done to them that defies the laws of gravity. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I'm not going to get too far into this. I'll get in trouble, but I've got to say what I think. There is such an emphasis today on looking good, on feeling good. I've never seen people take so many vitamins. They take vitamins for everything. Listen to me. It's true. But do you not know the outward man is perishing? Do you not know it doesn't matter how much you go to the gym? It doesn't matter how many sun beds you take. It doesn't matter what chemical you stick into your face to make you look younger. You are perishing. We are perishing. We're going to perish. I don't care if you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It ain't going to last. You're tarting up a house that's on fire. Listen. But Paul said to the Corinthians, seriously, he said, though our outward man is perishing, and listen, for him it wasn't a joke, they were facing death. Though our outward man is perishing, inwardly, daily, I'm being renewed. In me, there's life. And listen, the older you get, the more you appreciate this. Amen? The older you get, the more you'll appreciate this. I'm going bald. The Hamilton genes kicked in, right? I know I'm aging. But inwardly, I'm being renewed. And I know something of this experience today. When I first entered this tent, sorry, Jack, I'm being told off for not using the mic. When I first entered this tent, and I seen the size of it, and I saw the chairs, and I saw it full, I was like a child down there. I was grinning like a Cheshire cat. I thought, people are going to think you've cracked up. But I couldn't contain the joy of the Lord in me. Do you know the work of God has been renewing me in my spirit this week? The unity that is on this field has renewed my heart. I felt flat and down before I came onto this field, but I feel renewed. And it's a work of God's spirit, but he's done it through you. He's done it through us together, a body. And I praise God for every single person that made the effort to come here. Yes, you probably didn't feel like it because the outward man is perishing. But we don't go on feelings. We go by the Spirit of the Lord God in us. And we'll wait upon the Lord. And let me tell you this. Those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Paul knew where his strength was. And he taught it to the Corinthians well. As a matter of fact, he writ it in Philippians. And I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to finish with two things. This is one of them. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings conformed to his death. Philippians 3:10. That was the heart of Paul's life. That was the whole basis. His primary purpose was to know God. To know God and the power of the resurrection. And fellowship with his suffering. In Philippians 1:19, he said he waited for the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Do you know why am I getting to this for? Because in his flesh he was weak. But in Christ he was strong. In your flesh you will be weak. But in God we are strong. Amen? In me we can do nothing. But in Christ we can do all things. Because in him we are more than conquerors. Amen? We are more than conquerors. Jeremiah 9:23 says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he knows and understands me. Let me tell you, there's no room for pride in an earthen vessel, because there's nothing to be proud of. When we understand what we are, truly what we are, just clay vases before God. And that the treasure that fills us is what makes us special. Not our abilities, not our own strength, not our wisdom, not knowledge, but who fills us makes us precious. It's God in us that has made us precious. Listen, don't lose sight of what we are and why we're called. Don't lose sight of it. Earthen vessels. And listen, if you feel you've let God down this week, if you feel you've failed the Lord in something you've said and done, of how you've lived this week, reach out to Jesus. He's ever present in a time of need, amen. He is right there with you. He fills the temple and he dwells with these people, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.